And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations. The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, Season of Gladness, was written by Joseph Mindell and is presented in observance of the Sukkot season, the Jewish Festival of the Tabernacles. Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly, as far as light excelleth the dark. The wise man, his eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. So it is written in the book of Ecclesiastes, and I, Reb Noah the Melamed, teacher of Torah, will most certainly not dispute the words. But I will tell you a story, so that you may judge for yourself who is wise and who walks in darkness. There was in our village a porter whose name was Shmuel, not a big man, a man with shoulders bent from the burden he carried. Sometimes, as we leaned over the books in the house of study, saying the words to ourselves as we read, for how else can one learn? Sometimes we would look up to find Shmuel in the doorway, silently watching.
Look at him, standing there.
Come in, Shmuel. Come in and sit down.
Oh, no, I don't want to disturb you, Reb Noah.
You already have.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll go away.
No, pay no attention to Zavel. Come in.
Why not, Shmuel? We'll find a book for you, too.
Thank you, Zavel.
A book with large print.
I like to hear the sound of study.
You should come here more often and join us.
What are you doing, Zavel?
I know. I'm only reminding Shmuel of his obligation to study the Torah and the Talmud.
But how can I, Zavel? All day long, I carry from the village to the town, from the town to the village, all day until after dark. I have no time.
Is that what it is, Shmuel? If you only had the time, you'd be a real scholar, huh?
Oh, no. I didn't mean that at all.
Oh? Well, since you're here now, I'll give you a lesson in how to understand, how to follow the reasoning in the Talmud.
Oh, stop it, Zavel.
To teach another is a great mitzvah, Noah. Do you begrudge me a good deed?
Leave him alone.
Or are you afraid you'll lose a student? Now listen carefully, Shmuel. Let us take, for example, two burglars who enter a house by way of the chimney. Here they are in the house, one with a face dirty with soot, and the other with a clean face. Clear?
Zavel, I thank you.
Now tell me, Shmuel, which one of the two will wash? Tell me, which one?
I would say the one with the dirty face, Zavel.
You see, not so easy to be a scholar.
I'm wrong?
Listen, Shmuel. The burglar with the clean face looks at his colleague with the dirty face, and assuming his own face is also dirty, he washed it. While the one with the dirty face... Think it over a minute, Shmuel.
Yes, now I understand, Zavel. Thank you.
You understand, do you? Then please explain to me how, when two burglars enter a house by way of the chimney, only one will have a dirty face?
Well, I was trying to tell you, Zavel, I don't have a head for the Talmud.
Stop it. Stop laughing at him. Why do you let them do it, Shmuel? Why do you stand like excuse me, Shmuel.
For what, Reb Noah? I said a foolish thing. Why shouldn't they laugh?
This is the kind of man Shmuel was. People often laughed, even with goodwill in their hearts, they laughed. And often, on the next day, they were sorry.
Shmuel, you were angry?
Angry, Zavol?
About yesterday, the two burglars, I mean.
Oh, no, no, I'm not angry.
I want to talk to you. Shmuel, why don't you put down the box?
I'm taking it to Kozniz for Rabioshke. It's 7 miles, you know. Well, for a minute, maybe.
I often wonder how you can go on day after day, a man like you, carrying such heavy loads.
You get used to it, Zavol. After a while, you get used to things. Heavy loads, being laughed at.
Shmuel, I'm sorry for what I did.
Yeah.
Only, Shmuel, a little bit, it's your fault, too.
Shmuel!
You think so, Zavol? You may be right.
Shmuel, you going to Kuznets? Here, take this.
What for, Ivan?
Ribbon. My old woman has taken it into her head that she must have a piece of ribbon. You'll be back before dark?
I hope so. What color, Ivan? Blue, red, yellow?
How should I know? Ribbon!
What are you laughing about, Shmuel?
Let it be yellow ribbon.
This is exactly why you will never amount to anything. He comes to you without so much as a please and a thank you.
Who? Ivan? It's only the way he talks. He means well.
He gives you... Let me see how much. Just what I thought. Only enough to pay for the ribbon. You're doing this without charge.
But he's a poor man, a peasant who scratches a living from the earth.
That has nothing to do with it.
Besides, I'm going to Kuznets anyway with Rabioshka's box.
That's not the point. Business is business.
And coming back, how heavy is a piece of ribbon?
It's perfectly clear to me that you'll never be anything more than just Shmuel the porter.
What else should I be?
Don't you want to work yourself up in the world? Don't you want something for yourself?
Yes, yes. Good health for myself, for my wife, Dvore, and my son, Hirschel. Reb Noah says he has a brain in his head, my Hirscheler. I want to be able to send him to the yeshiva to study.
I'm not talking about your son, but about you. Wouldn't you want, for example, a horse to carry those trunks and boxes?
Ah, if I had a horse...
There you are.
But right now, for myself, tomorrow night the holiday begins. Sukkot, I mean.
You don't tell me.
For myself, I want to get back from Kuznets in time to finish building my sukkah. A few more nails on this board. Just so. And then one more board. Can you reach it, Heschler? Thank you. There. It's finished. Our sukkah is finished. What do you think of it?
You ask me that every year, Papa.
Do I? Well, maybe it's because we build it every year.
You use the same boards, the same nails. It's always the same.
So it is. So it is. Only every time we build a sukkah, I look at it with a this year's look. You know what I mean, Heschel?
It still looks the same to me.
Never mind. Just wait till Mama spreads fresh sand on the floor and decorates the inside with fruit and green leaves. Will this be a sukkah? Well, now, let's sit down and talk about why we make a booth to live in for 7 days.
Mama said I shouldn't stay up late.
Oh, you want to go to bed?
Oh, no, no, Papa.
Good, good. Then we'll talk. You know how the Lord, blessed be his name, took the children of Israel out of slavery in the land of Egypt?
Yes, Papa.
But they didn't reach the promised land right away. Oh, no. First, they had to pass through the wilderness. And what did they do there? They wandered. For 40 years, they went about from one place to another like the gypsies who passed through here last year. You remember, Heschel?
Oh, yes, Papa.
Now, how did they live in the wilderness all these years, those poor people? In booths. Open to the cold rain and the hot sun. And that's why when Sukkot comes...
Basukot teshvu shavat yamim.
Huh?
Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days.
That's how it's written. So that every year we will remember...
Lama'an yedu dorosehem. That your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths. when I brought them out of the land of Egypt.
Ah, what a head for learning. Well, come, Heschel. Time to go to sleep.
Oh, do I have to, Papa?
Oh, it's late. And besides, it seems to me that I don't have to teach you about Sukkot.
Oh, I like to listen when you tell it.
Never mind me. You listen to Reb Noah.
Oh, it's different, Papa. You say things that... Oh, I don't know. I just like to listen to you.
Reb Noah is your teacher. You can learn from him. Mishnah, Gemara, so many things. And then you'll go to the yeshiva, and you'll study more. And you'll be a scholar, Hishala. Not an ignorant man like your father.
How late are you going to keep the child up?
Well, he's going now, Dvorah. Run, Hishala. Sleep well.
Good night, Mama. Papa.
Shmuel, you mustn't talk to him like that.
Did I say something wrong?
A father is also a teacher.
Oh, there are all kinds. And here's a Shmuel the porter. I'm getting sleepy myself, Dvorah.
You always get sleepy when I want to talk seriously.
What is there to say? Other than Shmuel, I can't be.
The way you are is the way I want you, and Herschel wants you. You don't have to apologize with every breath.
You're angry.
Because you're my husband, and Herschel is our son, and he's a fine boy.
Thank you, Dvorah. Thank you for being angry. Michelle, are you sleeping?
No, Papa.
You said the good night prayer? Of course you have. Well, will you say it again for me?
Oh, yes, Papa. Baruch Ator Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Hamapil Hevlei Shana Al Enov, Ushmuna Al Afapoi.
May it be thy will, O Lord my God, and the God of my fathers, to suffer me to lie down in peace, and let me rise up again in peace.
For us in our little village, there was no peace that night. Somewhere, in some way, maybe a spark leaped to a tablecloth, or a piece of straw fell on a hot coal. Somehow, suddenly, a fire burned. The wind fanned it, blowing the flames from house to house.
Quick, Bora! Run! I'll take you some.
In the moonless night, the village was lit by a flickering sun that hid in clouds of smoke, and then shone forth again.
Reb Noah! Reb Noah! Are you safe?
Quickly, the houses caught, and quickly they burned themselves out. By the light of morning, we stood in the midst of the ruins of our village.
I found this in your house, Reb Noah.
His house. Who has a house now?
Oh, please, Savo. What is it, Shmuel?
The cover is burnt off, but the pages are only scorched.
A schoolbook, an old Gemara.
Stop poking in the ashes, Shmuel. There are more important things than looking for scorched books. Noah, have you decided yet?
I don't know. My house. I have to rebuild it.
Of course, but in the meantime, my brother who's taking me in doesn't live in a mansion, but for a few days there'll be room for you too.
Thank you, Zavo. It is the best way, isn't it?
You, Shmuel? So you have someone to whom you can go?
Well, Dvorah's sister lives in Kuznets.
Then that's where you'll go.
No, Zavo.
Then why do you tell me about Dvorah's sister?
You asked me.
I asked you where you'll... Stop kicking the ashes, Shmuel. What are you looking for?
Nails.
What's come over the man at a time like this? Nails.
These are from your house, Zavo.
From the ashes of my house.
I would like to have them, if you don't mind.
What do you want with a handful of nails burned by the fire?
Well, you see, Zavo, one wall of my sukkah is still standing, and with a few boards from what's left of my house...
You're thinking of putting up your sukkah again.
The holiday begins tonight.
You can't do it, Shmuel. You can't live in it for a week without even a roof over your head.
The sukkah never has a roof. Not a real one, I mean.
But the village is a scorched desert, a wilderness. There isn't a mouthful of food anywhere. You talk to him, Noah.
I'm afraid Zavel is right, Shmuel.
Well, you don't have to worry about me and Dvorah and Hirschel. We'll be all right.
I know how you feel. But after such a fire, what can we do? Should I also rebuild my sukkah?
I don't know, Reb Noah.
You see, Shmuel?
I don't know what someone else should do. But for myself, is it sukkahs only with a roof over my head and food in my belly? Reb Noah, is that what sukkahs means?
I stood in the wilderness of ashes and ruins and searched for an answer to a question that I, Reb Noah the teacher, had never thought to ask. And Shmuel, who asked it, went to the work that was waiting.
Be careful, Hishala. The boards still have glowing embers.
When he had finished, he put down the stone that was his hammer. He stepped back to look at his work.
It's done, Hishala. What do you think of our sukkah? More berries in your pockets and not so many in your mouth.
But I'm hungry, Papa.
We'll have a fine supper. Berries and these.
Acorns?
Acorns.
Do people eat them too?
Well, we'll give them to Mama and she'll cook them. Then we'll see.
Shmuel, I want that branch of leaves up there. I can't reach it.
Well, here's another branch, Dvorah. Lower down.
Not this one, Shmuel, that one.
But...
Do you want a real sukkah properly decorated or not?
I'll get you that one. Yeah. Dvorah, it's still not too late to go to your sister in Kuznets.
Did I say I wanted to go to my sister in Kuznets?
Everybody else has left the village.
Do you know why? Because they're afraid.
And you're not, Dvorah?
About me, I'm not so sure. But about you, I know. You're not afraid. Here, you take the leaves and branches, and I'll help Herschel with the berries. Shmuel, if you stand there and look at me like that, I'll cry.
Carrying green boughs and wildflowers, they return singing, "Rejoice and be happy in festive glee and gaily clap your hands." Shmuel brought clean sand. Dvorah spread it on the floor, and she hung the sukkah with growing things and made it a living place in the charred wilderness.
Reb Noah, you didn't go with Zavel.
Oh, I waited for you, Shmuel.
Sit down, Reb Noah. You look tired.
I waited because I... Shmuel, tell me what you know.
What do you mean?
I want to know it, too.
What do I know? How to carry a trunk on my shoulders.
Tell me how to build in ruins and sing in the midst of desolation.
What do you want me to say, Reb Noah? It's Sukkot.
Not only for you, for everybody. But you are here alone. Answer me, Shmuel.
I'm not sure what the question is. And what words do I know? What words do I have that you do not already know? Look how cleverly Dvorah hid the burnt places with the leaves.
I will sit down, if I may. I'm tired.
How is it written, Reb Noah? Basukos Shavat Yamin Shavu.
Teshvu, Shmuel.
Yeah.
Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days.
I used to wonder, why the booths? Why must we remember the booths? I carry boxes from the village to the town, from the town to the village, and I wonder. And then I think, it must be on account of the people. We build a sukkah so that we may remember the people who lived in the booths. When you walk on the roads all day alone, you think a lot, Reb Noah.
Yes, Shmuel.
After all, a booth of twigs and leaves open to the sky, it's very little protection against the cold and the rain and the wild animals. There must have been wild animals in the wilderness.
Oh, there were wild animals, Shmuel.
Then how could the people go on like that day by day for 40 years? You know what I think, Reb Noah?
Hmm?
Because they had the hope of the promised land. Because they knew they had God's protection. That's why they weren't afraid.
That's why you built a sukkah on the ashes of your house.
They knew that God protects his children.
And you, Shmuel, you also feel God's protection.
Why not me, Reb Noah? God does not have stepchildren.
In the fading day that was not yet dusk, we sat under the scorched and flower-bedecked roof open to the sky, safe from the wilderness, tired and at peace. I listened for the patriarchs who, tradition says, come to join those who sit in the sukkah. And in this place, at this moment, I was not surprised to hear footsteps. But it was not Abraham or Isaac or Jacob.
Shmuel, are you in there?
Here I am, Ivan.
She liked the ribbon.
Oh, I'm glad. But you didn't have to come so far to tell me.
Well, we heard about the fire. She said she smelled smoke.
Oh, it was a big fire.
She's wrong. I didn't smell it. It's too far, I said. Even if Kuznets burned, she couldn't smell the smoke. Could she, Shmuel?
I don't know, Ivan.
I said I would go to see with my own eyes. And she said, tell him about the ribbon.
I'm very glad she liked it.
Yeah. Then I said they'll be hungry, and she said, there's a few eggs and a cabbage and some potatoes here in the basket, Shmuel.
Thank you, Ivan. We are hungry. Will you sit with us while we eat?
In there?
In the sukkah.
And Zechariah said, it shall come to pass that every one of all the nations shall go up to worship the King and Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. As the sun went down, in the first moment of Sukkot, the festival of booths, we sat on the clean sand, and Shmuel said the words,
Atiten lono Hashem Elokeinu.
Thou hast given us, O Lord our God, appointed times for festivals and seasons for joy, this Feast of Tabernacles, the season of our gladness. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who hast kept us in life and hast preserved us and enabled us to reach this season. I, Reb Noah, the teacher, also said the words, and they sounded in my ears as if I had learned them for the first time. For wisdom comes in its own season to every man, and I knew that hope may not be placed in the harvest, nor reliance on the frail booth, and that after the wandering in the wilderness, there is the promised land, and the words sang in me, as I said them, in this season of gladness.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York, 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Sidney Albert of Akron, Ohio, member of the Board of Overseers of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Mr. Albert.
Shmuel, the village porter and supposed simpleton, was not really so simple or naive. Even the learned Noah, impressed by the faith and tenacity of the good-hearted, well-intentioned Shmuel, finds himself asking, Tell me how to build in ruins and sing in the midst of desolation. In a way, the experience reflected in today's circus program, Season of Gladness, is characteristic of the steadfast faith of our people through the ages. In the midst of ruins, persecutions, and wanderings, the Jew reasserts and reemphasizes his devotion to God and his loyalty to the eternal truths of the Torah by observing rituals and adhering to symbols which have become so meaningful in our holy days and festivals. The pilgrim festivals of which Sukkot is a part historically reminds us of the liberation of the Israelites from the slavery of Egypt. Sukkot, which means booth or tabernacle, received its name from the outdoor nature of its observance. Poetic meaning and color are given to the symbols of Sukkot during this holiday by the rabbis of old who describe them as follows. The citron, esrog, represents the heart, the seat of understanding. That one is to serve God understandingly. The palm branch, lulav, represents the spine, the main part of the human body, indicating that one is to serve God with his whole body. The myrtle, hadas, represents the eyes, indicating that one should be careful about the things he sees and covets. The willow, araba, represents the lips, indicating that man should guard his lips and should direct his words to God even while rejoicing. Following as closely as it does in the wake of the more solemn and sobering Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Sukkot comes as a lighter breath of joy. Recalling its symbolism, we return refreshed and uplifted to our normal pursuits and way of living.
Thank you, Mr. Albert. Our Eternal Life drama today, A Season of Gladness, was written by Joseph Mindel. It was presented in observance of the Sukkot season, the Jewish festival of the tabernacles. The music was written by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Roy Shield. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Ethel Everett, Louis Sorin, Leon Janney, Roger DeCoven, David Pepper, and Norman Rose. This has been an NBC Radio Network production directed by Daniel Sutter. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.